This episode is brought to you by Netflix. Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Seven-time world champion and modern-day legend Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, finally gets roasted. Hosted by Kevin Hart, Tom Brady gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. Tuesday, May 24th. Black shirt day, apparently.
Well, it's always black shirt day for Jason.
Right. That's right.
So it only has to be you and I that...
Yes. And what's so funny is... As I was choosing my shirt this morning, I reached for, you know, I was just like, I'm going to go with this one. And it was a black shirt. And I was like, well, I know Jason's going to wear a black shirt. What are the chances that Andy wears a black shirt? So it actually ran through my mind.
This morning?
This morning. And I said, no, Jason Moore does not have a monopoly
on, you can't let him take
on the black
all,
shirt.
All are welcome. You are welcome. Yes, yeah, slim down with me. Put on your best black and look a little thinner.
Now, we did try to persuade both Al Borland and Jason Moore to, you know, it's getting hotter out here in Arizona. And we know that the black absorbs the heat and lighter colors reflect the heat. And so we did try to persuade these two gentlemen for the pickleball activities, the under-the-sun outdoor activities, to go to a lighter color just for their own health and well-being.
Yeah.
And so I went to a tank top. How did you guys feel emotionally about, should I go back to the black?
The tank top's fine.
No, man, you're looking good out there.
Yeah, I'm just saying
side,
I saw...
Side boobs looking real nice.
I was going to say, I did see white shirts for one day.
Two days? Yep.
Al? And you then you guys did kind of an evaluation of how that went and decided no dice?
Yeah, not enough benefit there. Just turns into a wet t-shirt contest. Nobody wants that.
Wow. Welcome into the show. Excited to be with you. Brooks is here as well.
Hey-o.
Are you in a black shirt, Brooks?
No.
Okay. All right.
Way to support the team.
Well, there is 1 week left to pre-order the Ultimate Draft Kit before it's released. So this is exciting. The app, the full UDK. It's all going to be here June 1st, and lowest price is right now. So ultimatedraftkit.com, go there.
Yeah,
yeah. There are some crazy improvements. We've made it across the board, our cheat sheet creator, auctions. If you're in any kind of auction league, it is so much more improved. It could customize to your league importing. The Ultimate Draft Kit has a major upgrade, and that's why we're charging four times the price.
Oh, you probably missed Mike and I joking about that on the footcast, where we're really not doing the inflation thing right with the cost, because it's the same price has been for 7 years, but
next year.
But Mike said we're going to $350 next year.
Yeah, because it's fair market. That's market price.
It's worth it.
He wants like a fine fish.
Yeah,
at a restaurant.
Yeah, you're like, oh, would you like the lobster roll or the UDK?
Both are market price.
Yeah.
Okay, so ultimatedraftkit.com, check that out. Twitter at the FF Ballers. Here's today's quick question. It's about pick trading. It's from Rob on Twitter. He says, how do you feel about trading picks in redraft leagues? What do you think about the infamous trade, the first and fourth for the second and third? What say you?
Yeah, I think pick trading in a redraft league is excellent. There's no reason to take pick trading out of your league. Obviously, if you are in, you know, one of the online platforms or the running clock, very difficult to pull off in that setting. But a lot of redraft leagues are still, you know, you get together with your friends, you're offline, you just have a draft party. And in that situation, man, trading picks, trading up for your guy, it is so much fun as the draft goes along. If you haven't experienced that, flip the switch, add it to your league if you're in one of those offline drafts.
Well, even if you're online, it can happen before the draft, too.
Sure.
You could have all the draft order in there, and then somebody says, hey, Mike, what about you sending me your second and third for my first and fourth?
Yeah, for that particular trade, since Rob asked about it, I don't like that. I would prefer to have my one and four. All of those picks are very valuable, but, you know, just probability hit rates on the first round are so much stronger, and then they just continually go down as you get through the second and the third and the fourth, and there's still going to be juicy wide receivers available in the fourth round. But to what Jace is talking about, if you can get it in there live, because the downside of the snake draft is you're slotted, and there are players you know you cannot get, which is the auction format was invented for this, so that any fantasy football player can go after any player they want. It's just who is going to, you know, who's willing to, what is the price to get that player onto your team. So when you have the trading in and you notice a player falling, it's a whole new level of excitement of like just trying your hardest to get up, or you get a conversation going with one player and it finally it just fizzles out and you're like, fine, take your pick, and then they don't take your guy.
That feels good.
So you're scrambling, you go to the next manager, you're like, hey, whoa, don't make this pick yet. Let's talk trades here. So it's extremely fun when you're in a scenario where you can actually have real conversations. It slows the draft way down.
Oh yeah, you're talking 3 days minimum for a live draft. You gotta
per
bring
pick.
You bring your camping gear.
Yes,
and your sleeping bag, and go to work.
Multi-day camping draft. That you just discovered something.
It's like a festival.
Right. Basically, that's an auction
in the middle of the desert. All black shirts, obviously. All right, let's move on to news.
News and notes from around the league.
When this news broke yesterday, I kind of eye-rolled at all the reactions, but maybe I'm in the minority. I think I am. Seahawks head coach Pete Carroll mentioned that Rashad Penny is resting a slight hamstring issue during the start of voluntary OTAs. The world freaked out. They said... This is reason.
I don't know if it's freak out. It's just the most
here
of my
we go was one of the headlines.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it I think is tongue in cheek, but at the same time, the guy has basically been healthy for a 6-game stretch in his entire career. He's going into his fifth year.
Fifth year, yeah.
And it's just,
is he really?
Yeah.
Last 3 years, 10 games played, 3 games played, 10 games played, and in those 10. You got injured.
Right.
So it's not really 10 full games played at all. He has never been able to stay healthy, but you see it. When he's given the opportunity, he's healthy, yep. He's so good. And so, yeah, I had an eye roll. I didn't have an eye roll over the reactions. I had an eye roll over, like, come on, man. Just
even having that headline exist.
Yeah.
Like, just be healthy. What's
the question is, what has he been doing?
Well, I'm sure
he's not playing football. I know he's still, and look, they're training year long. They're getting their body prepared for the NFL season.
This didn't happen on the jog out to the field?
If it did, that's even worse.
I don't know.
You're saying a light jog out to the field? And
it's not uncommon for players to have hamstring injuries around this time. Rashad Penny just sets off the alarm bells, even though we're months ahead of the season.
Here we go again.
It's absolutely probably nothing to worry about now. We're
absolutely
so far.
Absolutely probably.
Exactly. Exactly. It makes the spider senses, you know, your hair starts standing up on your arm.
Yep.
So I do think people might overreact on the Kenneth Walker side and get a little too excited, like they know it's going to happen.
All right, Kadarius Toney, He underwent a minor knee procedure during the offseason, earlier in the offseason. Saw some talk about maybe the team's investment in Wandale Robinson and the trade rumors had to do with basically this injury being a precursor to potential injuries down the line. He obviously missed time last year. He's a really weird player to evaluate.
Yes.
Because honestly, I feel like in a dynasty league, his range of outcomes is complete irrelevance for the remainder of his entire career, or greatness.
All the way to greatness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, when I look at this team this year, the New York Giants, I have no idea who the number one wide receiver is going to be. I think it could and should be Kadarius Toney. He looked so good in his short stretches. But, yeah, I mean, you talk about in Dynasty, like a long-term outlook, but I think that's true in redraft. This year, Kadarius Toney could easily be their number one wide receiver, or he could basically not be on the field and be irrelevant and undraftable, and you've just got to kind of call your shot. Now, this minor arthroscopic knee surgery, whenever I see like, oh, should be ready for training camp.
Yeah, that's a should.
I think remind me in training camp, because if he's not all the way healthy, if he's limited, like he's almost there, but he's limited, I get scared. If you're completely 100%, no limitations at training camp, then great.
Doug Peterson came out and said Travis Etienne will be a full go at OTAs. So that's good.
Yeah.
Saw him running routes, cutting, looking good. Trevor Lawrence to Travis Etienne. I mean, that's what you want to see right now.
The Giants did pull it, going back a story, the Giants did put out a nice, you know, quick Instagram video of Daniel Jones completing a pass with like that target emoji. You know, where you hit
right.
the middle of the target. So
yeah.
Things are looking good there.
Did he hit the middle of the target?
I mean, he had to. They don't have the emoji of the of the dart going way over the dartboard.
You got the white zone. You're like, that one was 25 points.
They don't make enough emojis to cover Daniel Jones. Deshaun Watson's lawyer expects the NFL to make a decision on a suspension in June or July. I see a question here from Brooksy. Did we take games away from Deshaun Watson when we projected him in the ultimate draft kit? I did take four games away from him. That's where I statted him, but it's obviously going to be dependent on this news. I don't know how many you guys took away.
I took away six.
Yeah, I'm minus six as well currently.
So he's what this means is there was a time a couple weeks ago we thought maybe he would get suspended next year, not this year.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like this year they're going to deal with it, which, you know.
Good.
Kind of. It's good and bad in the sense that he's
not going to lose money now.
He reworked his contract.
Yeah, no, I know.
Also,
agreed.
He sucks. Kyler Murray will not attend OTAs this week. Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do know that Cliff Kingsbury came out and said he'll be at mandatory minicamp as well. So there you go. Nick Foles, he's going to back up Matt Ryan.
All right.
I thought this was a really nice signing. Like, it's a quality team and a quality backup. You've got an old Matt Ryan that you hope takes him to the next level. But when I heard this, I was like, man, that's just a smart NFL move for a team that is really competing.
I think we all want Frank Reich to do well. I think he's very likable.
Yeah. But who doesn't like Steven Spielberg?
I feel like every offseason, this is the same refrain for Frank Reich. I think we feel a sense of pity. Where he lost Andrew Luck suddenly during one of our live shows, essentially. And from that time on, we're just like kind of going, well, that's a good move there.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz, that could work out.
Oh, well, no.
Phillip Rivers, oh, that'll work out.
Yeah, I was more
Jacoby
in on the
Brissett,
Rivers.
Jacoby Brissett, that might work out. He's new quarterback every year for Frank Reich.
Well, you got to keep swinging.
I don't think we have any other news, Brooks, do we?
No, sir.
We do have a giveaway. We're giving away a couple classic autographed jerseys on the website, footclangiveaway.com. It's free to enter. An autographed Mike Vick Falcons jersey. Jason, you didn't even know about this.
I didn't.
And an autographed Beckham Giants jersey. So a couple classics up there. If you want to win one, footclangiveaway.com. Like I said, it's free to enter. Just giving out some cool stuff to the Foot Clan.
Mailbag.
Mailbag. Ooh, yeah.
Is that a black shirt, Kyle?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you got a black shirt. And then, of course, Al probably's got a black shirt on. Yeah?
It's actually gray today.
Gray.
Oh.
This would have been a better like morning outfit for us with the Suns' departure from the playoffs. Mm. We really should have called – well, Mike and I could have called each other.
What are you talking about? Who?
Oh, you don't even know who I'm talking about.
No. What are you
– You've moved on.
We had a departure?
Yeah, it was the game you went to, Mike. You paid money to go to that game. You don't remember that?
Nope.
Check your wallet.
Nope.
Okay.
There's nothing there.
If you have a question.
The Suns took it all.
The Suns took everything. If you have a question for the show, you can dial the voicemail hotline 302-464-TFFB, and you might sneak onto one of these mailbag sections. You can click the submit a question button on the website, thefantasyfootballers.com as well. Let's jump into a voicemail.
Hey, Ballers. In a dynasty league, would you trade Mark Andrews for TJ Hawkinson and a future first rounder? Thanks. Love the show. Ooh.
So the question was, would you trade Mark Andrews for TJ Hawkinson and a future first rounder in a dynasty league?
Can I speak as the Hawkinson truther?
Of course you can.
I believe Hawkinson, he's very young, great draft capital. I think he's shown enough flashes. I think he's going to be good. I think he will be much better than he was even last year. And as the truther, I would trade Hawkinson and a future first to get Mark Andrews. That's how I view Andrews. I think Andrews is, you know, what would you have traded 5 years ago for Travis Kelce and a run right. of potential 5 years in a row of the tight end one? I don't know that Mark Andrews will ever be quite as dominant as Travis Kelce. I mean, he was better than him last year, but there were some things that came about to make that happen. But I don't think he needs to be as dominant to still be a clear difference maker where, you know, the odds-on favorite for being the tight end one over the next 5 years with the quarterback situation with Pitts and the aging out of Kelce. So, yeah, I think Mark Andrews is more valuable than Hawkinson and a random future first.
I think drastically. If I had Hawkinson on my team, this is something I would be more than willing to do, is go make an offer, because it seems like face value, okay, that's interesting for the manager that has Mark Andrews on their team, and I would prefer Andrews. Look, he's in the perfect place where the offense – and Lamar, like, it's being built around Mark Andrews, where, like, Rashad Bateman, you know, we think he's a very good wide receiver. Can he take the step to be a true number one? That remains to be seen. Meanwhile, the Lions, you know, they just traded way up in the draft to bring in an actual number one wide receiver, and you still have the St. Brown breakout from last year. So I think that while Hawkinson will be good, like, he'll be good as where if he ends up as the tight end three, you're like, yeah. But the difference between the tight end three and the tight end one is vast. It's points per game different.
Yeah, until T.J. Hawkinson is Mark Andrews, he's one of a million tight ends with potential.
Right.
And those are always worth trading for tight ends with established value.
And will he be Mark Andrews with Jared Goff?
No.
No. And will he be Mark Andrews with a rookie?
Not likely.
So maybe 3 years from now, when a great rookie they draft next year really comes into his own, takes the Lions to where they haven't been in many years while he's playing on his fifth-year option or whatever, maybe then he does have that true dominant breakout. But
he's a trade for me in Dynasty, and I know that you – truther or not, like, it's not an indictment on Hawkinson. It's a reflection of that situation. Fewest vacated targets in the NFL – Jameson Williams being drafted, DeAndre mm-hmm. Swift being healthy. If I could cash in on Hawkinson this way with a future first to get Andrews, it'd be awesome.
Yeah.
All right. This question comes from Christopher Rubin on YouTube. Hey, footballers, what do you think about 14-team leagues, and how would you structure the playoffs if you had a 14-team league setup?
We have a 14-team league, our listener league, so that we can have as many extra fans in our league. We have made it a 14-team league since the three of us are taking three teams. We sometimes regretfully have a team from last year that gets to play again because one of us didn't win, which is rare. But Also did happen this last year. we, in that league, we basically, so I love the idea of a 14 team league if you have enough, good managers,
right,
to run the teams. Those are fun. They get deeper. They get harder. As far as playoffs,
what do we have? Six in the playoffs,
yep,
in that league?
Six in the playoffs. So a little bit more difficult to make the playoffs. And then it basically runs just like your normal 12 team leagues with six in, where, first two.
You could do eight.
Yeah, you could.
You could do eight with no buys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's the biggest league you've been in? I haven't been in any larger than 14 that I cared about.
I've done a 16 teamer, and it is, whew, it's quite the test. You're
starting some very special players.
Oh yeah, especially at the running back position. You are just getting all the garbage in there.
All right, let's jump into another voicemail.
Howdy there, ballers and deucers. Would you rather have Chase Edmonds, CEH, or A.J. Dillon as your RB2 if Aaron Jones is your RB1? Thank you much.
Oh, you had to throw that last part in there.
Yeah, that's
Edmonds,
important.
CEH, or A.J. Dillon as your RB2 when you have Aaron Jones as your RB1?
First of all, I think this is the first verbalization from a fan of the deucers.
How'd
as
you feel?
I felt great about
okay.
it.
Okay.
I knew that was near and dear to your heart, so I was willing to really make the commitment.
Yeah, so, and thank you, Deucers, for being so good back there. I know my answer. I'm scared of this player in general. I let him go by me in almost all drafts, but it would still be Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I think that the passing opportunity this year, the offense, the I'm more sure of at least his role, even though I'm still not like 100. I have Ronald Jones fears, but I'm more sure of his success than Chase Edmonds personally. And there's going to be a lot of change in Miami. We don't know how good Tua's going to be. And then A.J. Dillon, I feel like it would be really scary to start both at the same time and just get everything that the Packers get. And then it feels more like insurance. So that's where I am. I would take Clyde Edwards-Helaire out of the three if AJ, really in either situation, but if Aaron Jones was my RB1, even more clearly.
It's so strange when you have a situation like that where if your RB1 was a different player, like maybe in, call it Joe Mixon, right? And then I'd answer AJ Dillon. But if you make it Aaron Jones, then I'm answering somebody else. And independently, you should think, hey, the better player should play. But you're also about risk aversion and
maximizing upside.
Yeah, and when Aaron Rodgers throws four touchdowns that one week and you get nothing, that's a problem. So I agree. I think Clyde is the answer. Vacated targets very often go to the running back position. Kansas City has a ton of them. Green Bay has a ton of them.
Right.
Both of those teams do. But Green Bay's are going to go more to the Aaron Jones side, most likely, in the passing game, even if A.J. Dillon is capable of it. So I'll agree with you on that one.
And yeah, I'm going to go with Clyde as well. An interesting note that we just found out. I don't know how this made it through. Like, no beat reporters, nobody talked about this. But coming into last off season, coming off of the Super Bowl win, Clyde went on a podcast and he was talking about, well, he ended up having a gallbladder surgery and like it had shut down. I don't know, the specifics. Not a doctor worrying about gallbladder stuff, and I believe it's a pretty easy surgery normally, but he mentioned he got down to 160 pounds. So he didn't have a true off season. He was still going into training camp with his body not coming off of a full off season. Like, he's still recovering. So I thought that was at least interesting. Of he wasn't fantastic in his sophomore year. It almost looked like he may have taken a step back. So we will see moving forward into year three. If he has a full offseason, what does that actually look like for him?
Do you know what I would have to do to lose 40 pounds? I mean, give me a gallbladder surgery immediately.
I think when you are, like, Clyde's a smaller framed dude, so when you aren't able to keep working out vigorously, your muscle mass will go away quickly.
But he was bad with a gallbladder.
Right.
He was also bad without a gallbladder.
He was not bad his rookie
year. So he needs half a gallbladder. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah, put half of it back in and then unleash them.
Yeah, I mean.
What does a gallbladder even do? Does anyone know?
I think it helps with the bile and breaking down fats.
Oh, don't answer for real. We need it. We were looking for something entertaining.
It does nothing. Scientists are lost, and you can get rid of it.
I figured it was the backup bladder.
How many organs do we have that we don't necessarily need?
Oh, at least 30% of them.
30% of organs?
That's a number larger than I would be comfortable with.
You can give a kidney, right? You only need one kidney.
A lobe of a lung. So like that, you know, right?
A chunk of a liver.
Yeah. So, yeah, 30% might be right here, Mike. Your gallbladder.
You can't give up any heart, though, right? You can't, like, give them a ventricle?
No.
Keep them all?
Don't recommend that.
Can you get extra? Can
extra
I, like,
hearts?
Just an extra, like...
just in case?
Like an extra valve. You know what I mean? Like, I got a V8 to your V6. So
right, you upgraded.
Oh, yeah. I'm just preparing for, you know...
Oh,
I already know I'm going to need a couple extra. Let's get those put in there now.
They don't do any preemptive valve surgeries, probably. Yeah, everything looks fine, sir. Put it in.
Yeah. I want a super heart.
Turbocharge this bad dog.
I want a super heart. What? Why, sir? Pickleball.
Pickleball and I eat a lot.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah. You don't need your appendix, right?
Oh, yeah. Get that out of here.
That thing, you know.
It's a hazard.
You should take it out, you know, on birth. Get it out of there so you don't have any of that appendicitis going on. Okay. Well.
Your spleen? Do you need a spleen?
I think you can live without it.
There you go.
Can you?
30% might be right.
I think so.
I'm looking at the deucers, and no one is confirming all of this scientific data. Nobody at all.
Because we run a fantasy football podcast.
False, based on this conversation.
Josh chimed in. He said, don't forget about the appendix.
Yeah, but about the spleen, man? We're asking spleen questions.
You can still have a fairly normal life without one of your lungs, a kidney, your spleen, appendix, gallbladder, adenoids, tonsils, plus some of your lymph nodes.
You want to lose weight? Yeah. I just found your path.
I'll take it out. Let's go.
If you take all that out, you could probably...
That's 10
pounds. You could put it in a storage pouch or something.
With a
zipper?
It's already there.
What is happening today? All right, we're going to take a quick break and get back into the questions. Hey, Foot Clan, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How is it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, hurry, hurry. And social gatherings, they pick up, and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out, and therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers. All right, this question comes in from... Lane on YouTube. Is it okay to take Cooper Kupp with the 101 overall?
Sure.
Yeah, I think absolutely it is. I would not personally do this. I think that the positional value and the difference that Jonathan Taylor and Christian McCaffrey can give you, I would still take either one of them over Cooper Kupp. But I've been staring at the 103 and thinking that's where I am comfortable personally. Saying I want Cooper Kupp over the next highest tiered running back, I'm fine with that. Assuming it's a PPR league, if you're in, you know, a half PPR or standard, obviously his value goes down there.
I would say, sorry, Mike.
Last year Cooper Kupp was a top 24 wide receiver, 94 75% of his games, where Debo, who was, you know, the wide receiver two, 75%. Cooper Kupp was a wide receiver one, 82% of his games. That dropped down to 56% for Debo Samuel. He was such a positional advantage, and I it's fair to say, okay, well, coming off of that historic type of a season, like a true dominant player, can he actually repeat that? And I mean, you know, the variables are minimum that it's going to be Stafford back. You don't have Robert Woods there, so that'll be interesting for Cooper Kupp, which Woods, I guess, missed half the season. But
yeah, they'll have Allen Robinson.
Yeah, but I'm saying, so there are some changing pieces. It's not a complete re-roll for Cooper Kupp.
It's as close as you get these days.
We would not expect him to have the otherworldly season he had last year, and you can't just say, well, he did it last year, we'll get it this year. But just to give you an idea of, like, it had you drafted Cooper Kupp the 101 last year, that would have been the best pick. I mean, you could have gotten later, so dumb. But you know what I'm saying. He scored more in a PPR league. He scored more points than Josh Allen, the quarterback one. He's, you know, 40 more points. He scored 70 more points on the season than Jonathan Taylor, the running back one. So, yeah, Cooper Kupp should be in the conversation in a PPR league for, you know, how high are you going to take him?
Yeah, I've got no problem with it, especially if you're in love with later running backs. I mean, there are a lot of running backs that are going to go. Rashad Penny, for example. Maybe you're in love with leaning on Rashad Penny for your RB2 or something like that. I mean,
because you hate yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We fall in love with players. Cam Akers is another one people might like. J.K. Dobbins. There are a bunch of running backs that, like, does any of us, would we be shocked if Cam Akers was a top 10 running back, even though we don't have him ranked there?
Opportunities there.
Yeah, so,
and Cooper Kupp, just historically wide receiver, is less likely to get hurt and miss games than a running back who's getting 300-plus carries.
If he's entering the Antonio Brown era of his career where he's got three years where, yeah, he's not the number one, but he's the 2-3, somewhere in that, probably shouldn't be overlooked as an option for your team. However, we've been down this road with Michael Thomas and that Michael Thomas question, and so you see all the different outcomes that can happen.
Yeah, and Antonio Brown became Antonio Brown basically in year four. That's where it started. So,
and when did he stop?
This past year he stopped, but we had 7 years or six years of true dominance, so five after the breakout.
Instagram question from Adroko: how much faith do you have in Jameis Winston this year? Zero. Zero faith in Jameis Winston. That word does not come near Jameis Winston for me, but that does not mean he is not a sleeper quarterback.
Yeah.
Because of the weapons, Olave, Michael Thomas, who just released a video to hype people up about his recovery, but it made some in the medical community question his recovery.
Whoops.
But you have, Jarvis Landry now.
Yeah.
So there are weapons. Yeah. I don't know how often he'll throw this year.
Yeah, I was surprised that Jameis Winston fell to quarterback 23 in my stats, because I do see a path where he could be a top 15 quarterback. He has the weapons. He has the arm talent, the history of a lot of stat production. I don't think the team – I mean, this question of how much faith do you have in Jameis Winston really shouldn't be asked to us. Should be asked to the New Orleans Saints. And I think their answer is, not a ton. So we're going to kind of rein him in. Enough to make him the starter.
Yes.
But they don't have enough faith to just say, go out there, call the plays at the line of scrimmage, go win the game, do whatever you got to do. They're going to put him in their system, and I think that will kind of nerf him a bit fantasy-wise.
Yes, in the system, but he's the guy. Like, where last year you had the quarterback battle of, is it going to be Taysom Hill, is it going to be Jameis Winston? It's Jameis. He's the quarterback moving forward for this team for the next couple of years.
This is year 8 for Jameis Winston in his career. So we've seen a lot.
Yep.
And he'll be equipped to succeed. And if he can be efficient like last year, which means not throwing interceptions, throwing touchdowns when it matters, having a passer rating that was way higher than his entire career last year because of those factors, he could be interesting on a streaming basis.
And you know that Jameis can get it done. So, like, that proof of concept is there. He can absolutely get it done for fantasy football. But faith is not very high.
Yeah. We had expired after 7 years. Dynasty trade question from the website, Allison in Nashville. Michael Pittman versus T. Higgins.
Oh, man.
They were back-to-back in the 2020 NFL draft. They're very similar in age. Pitty City's a little bit older. This one is this one's very difficult.
Yeah.
I've seen people trade a lot for Michael Pittman in Dynasty Leagues recently. T. Higgins is also very popular right now in Dynasty Leagues. I prefer Higgins. I believe that the future in Indianapolis is going to involve other bodies than Michael Pittman. I think he'll be good, not great, for the remainder of his career. And I just like the attachment to Joe Burrow for T. Higgins.
That's why it's my T. Higgins for me. You know I'm a Michael Pittman truther, and I think I believe Matt Ryan is a massive upgrade at the quarterback position over Carson Wentz. I think Michael Pittman can be even better this year than he was the past year. But we know that Joe Burrow is great, and we know that while T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase aren't likely to, you know, like, have their big explosion games on the same exact week, it can happen. But frequently throughout the season, you're not going to see both of them be dominant. But because Joe Burrow is the quarterback, I'll go with Higgins.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I echo everything you guys say. I love disagreeing with you, but I don't hear – it's weird to prefer the wide receiver two for a team.
But is
over
he
the clear,
actually?
Well, yeah, sure. Maybe he's the wide receiver one, but he's at least seen as the wide receiver 1B, or at least in fantasy, the wide receiver two on the team for sure. Always sure. Drafted that way. Versus a guy who's just all alone with great target market share, who we like, and Michael Pittman. I like both these players, but yeah, Joe Burrow, greater sign,
yeah,
future quarterbacks of Pittman.
Would you look at it like Larry Fitzgerald and Anquan Boldin?
That's exactly the comp that I always go to.
Because you never really thought of Anquan Boldin as like a complete Robin to the Batman.
Right.
But you knew that Fitz was better.
So Batman and Superman.
Is that what it is?
That's how I look
at
it.
So Chase is Superman.
Yes. I believe
so Higgins is Batman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what's Tyler Boyd?
Robin?
Is he?
No.
Aquaman? But, yeah, okay, I think we all agree there.
Back in the day, I think Larry Fitzgerald finished as the wide receiver one, and in that same year it was wide receiver seven for Anquan Boldin. And that's very similar to how I've got T. Higgins at eight and Ja'Marr Chase at three.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. And you had confidence in Kurt Warner back then in Arizona, and you have confidence in Joe Burrow now.
Mm-hmm.
So, Instagram question, if Lamar Jackson's available in the fifth round this year, are you drafting him in the fifth?
Nope.
Need all the context of, like, how many quarterbacks have actually gone. Maybe there was a huge quarterback run, and then Lamar Jackson was left alone in the fifth. I still believe in Lamar Jackson for that high-end fantasy output is in his range of outcomes. But you need far more context for that question.
I don't.
You don't.
No, okay. I mean, I like Lamar Jackson. I think he's going to be good for fantasy. He's going to run the ball a lot. But I don't think he ever gets back to where he's throwing for 35-plus touchdowns and running for 1,100 yards. He's lost weapons this year. And in the fifth round is where I'm taking a quarterback that I am very confident is a guaranteed top three guy. There's just good players. There's good wide receivers in the fifth round that I would prefer if I don't have, you know, can Lamar Jackson finish as a top three? Absolutely. But do I think he will? I don't.
No, I mean, he was 10th in 2020, 15th last year, missed some games. It's the shine of the MVP season is still there, and that makes it hard. I mean, I remember this happening with Matthew Stafford after the 40-touchdown season with Calvin Johnson.
Sure.
And it was about 4 or 5 more years of maybe I'll get that again. And in the fifth, that's too expensive, I think. There are a lot of players that can give you a big week. Lamar's got a better floor than those guys.
Mm-hmm.
But All right, let's go ahead and turn to an Instagram question from Craig. Where's the best place to take Trey Lance? Which, by the way, 49ers OTAs, I believe, start today. So get ready, because beat writers are primed to analyze every mechanic of Trey Lance.
Believe nothing out of that city. Believe yeah. nothing.
Trey Lance.
Just the injury reports.
No, believe the opposite of whatever.
He is extremely difficult. It's for me, Trey Lance comes down to what did you believe the ceiling for Trey Lance was last year? Because you're going to move that forward. He is quarterback 13 right now on underdog, so not being drafted as a QB1. People are looking at this scenario from all different sides of, well, Jimmy Garoppolo is still on the team. Why haven't they traded him? Why haven't they cut him? And it's, what do you believe in Trey Lance? I believe that Jimmy Garoppolo killed his trade market because of the surgery, and that before the season starts, he will either be traded or he will be cut, because the 49ers can cut him with essentially zero financial repercussions to their cap, and that Trey Lance will be their guy moving forward, and he's surrounded by weapons, and I think that top 10 is well within the range of outcomes for him.
Everybody makes a list every year of players you're willing to miss out on.
Yes.
Trey Lance is on my list. Willing to miss out on that experience.
Yeah, he could absolutely have a monstrous fantasy season with what he's able to do on the ground at the quarterback position. So, yeah, if you miss out on Amanda, you're going to miss out on a really, really good pick. But I lean that way, too. I'm willing to miss out. And the question is, you know, what's the best place to take Trey Lance? To me, if he's there in the 10th round and I'm futzing with, you know, Matthew Stafford drops to the 10th, that Trey Lance is in the 10th, and I could pick one of those two guys, I would go Trey Lance, because I want the upside of massive performance. You know, last year Matthew Stafford was a high-end quarterback on the course of the season because he played the entire season and always had enough stats. But if you look on a weekly basis, he had half of his weeks were just completely worthless. And so I would rather swing for the fences, but I only want to do that when it costs me nothing, and that's 10th round plus. You're not competing
for Trey Lance.
Right, and that's, to me, that's with Jimmy Garoppolo gone. And when Jimmy Garoppolo leaves, if that happens, you're probably not getting Trey Lance in the 10th round.
So, and every day that goes by, there's lower odds of that happening.
Andy, it's a very specific question, but would you rather take Lamar Jackson in the 5th or Trey Lance as the QB 13?
Yeah, as the QB 13 in the draft?
Mm-hmm.
So that means what, 10th, 11th, 12th round?
Mm-hmm.
Probably Trey Lance.
Okay.
Because I'll have a backup plan at that point. Might look like Matt Ryan, though.
Yeah, and you'll have better depth at wide receiver or running back because of that 5th round pick. I would do the same.
YouTube question from Mike Simon. Can you import your draft team into the UDK?
Great question. yes, you can. If you are on ESPN or Sleeper, we have
Yahoo.
Or Yahoo. I mean, it's just awesome. Import your team. That'll take settings and rosters. It's really nice.
The draft analyzer is part of the UDK Plus, so we will look at your roster and evaluate needs, concerns, areas to address, things to pay attention to, risk.
And we'll grade it. We'll tell you how great you did or how terrible you did.
Yeah. D plus. That's the only grade we it can
yeah,
get.
Yeah,
it,
yeah.
The algorithm's so complex, it can only give out one grade.
You want to keep people hungry.
Yeah.
Don't rest on your laurels.
Do better.
Oh, my gosh. Swifter, Javonte, in a keeper league.
Oh, man.
Well, let me give you a scoring system.
Yeah,
that matters. Half.
Here's how I look at
Javonte.
It. I like Javonte a lot. I think he's a stud going forward. I'm going to stick to my usual way that I view keepers, which is I don't view them as like a dynasty league and what is the 2, 3, 4 years I'm going to get from a guy, because we've seen too many times. Our main league of record is a keeper league that we've played in for, you know, well over a decade, and players come and go so quick that when you're only keeping a couple, the age really doesn't matter that much. The contracts don't really matter that much. And so I'm taking the player I think is better this year. They're both young. To me, that's DeAndre Swift.
You're going Swift?
Yeah.
Like right now in my rankings with the stats and everything, Swift is higher than Javonte for me. Not by a wide margin, but he is. And it's one of those things of like, if I'm in the draft, would I really take DeAndre Swift there over Javonte? Because I think that Swift is a huge risk. I mean, we have 2 years of his body of work in the NFL. Great player, great pass catcher, but, you know, 13 games each of those two seasons. Now, running backs, they're going to miss some time. That happens. But Swift just has the concerns of a guy that every year he's going to miss, like, 4 or 5 games.
Yeah, I have found myself really liking DeAndre Swift. It would be an easy decision in a redraft for me. Like, I would draft Swift well ahead of Javonte in a redraft. He's honestly, he would be like in consideration for my guy territory for me, except he's a Detroit Lions running back.
Yeah.
Oh. And I don't do that no more. Lessons learned.
Multiple times.
I pluralized it. Lessons learned.
Lessons. Sins as yes. well. Yeah. All right. That is going to do it for today's show. A reminder, footclangiveaway.com if you want in on a classic Michael Vick autographed jersey, classic Odell Beckham jersey, and check out ultimatedraftkit.com because it's out in a week.
Yeah, baby.
Woo, baby.
And then it's going to be a lot of fun as we head into the 2022 season. So thank you for joining us today. We'll catch you on Thursday.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.